was thinking about this the other day. I have always wanted to patent an invention. I was a little worried when Google Glasses, you remember when Google Glasses were going to be the next big thing? I was a little worried that they were going to steal my idea because for about a decade or more now, I've wanted to have glasses that have a little subtitle running across the very bottom of it that would have, somehow with facial recognition or a chip implanted or I don't know, when you looked at a person, it would come up what their name was and who their kids were and where you knew them from. Very handy for the modern rabbinate, right? Or if you didn't know them, friends in common, anything else that might be helpful. This way you'd look at someone and you'd know them and you'd know something about them. Because the truth is, you can't always remember things about people that you know, and you can't always tell things about people you don't know. Case in point. In my congregation in New Jersey, in pre-COVID days, like our community here, I took a group of teenagers to the Litaken seminar of the Religious Action Center in Washington, D.C. This is the Teen Social Justice Seminar. And the group that I brought from New Jersey, we went and gathered with about 400 or 500 other teenagers from across the country. And after the Shabbat evening service, we had a speaker, a guy named Calvin. Maybe he was 35, 36 years old, big guy, African American guy, probably about a head taller than I am and twice my size, a slight beard. He was dressed, like most of the kids were in nice casual black jeans and dark boots, a nice sweater, a dark jacket. He was a speaker from the National Coalition for the Homeless. And he spoke to the kids. He told us about facts and statistics and figures that homelessness is sadly still a large problem in our country and growing in many areas, and how his job, his work with the National Coalition, was to help get people off the street and to help educate groups about this. After he had shared his professional life and those details with us, he then proceeded to tell us his story because you see, he himself had been homeless for a while. Back when he was a teenager, his dad had had a pretty awful go of mismanaging their money. They had lost the family house, their family had suffered through divorce, and Calvin, as a teenager, ended up homeless while in high school. And he spent the last 2 years couch surfing from one friend to the next. After high school, it got worse, and he ended up having to live in old cars or a park bench. After high school, he did have jobs. He would actually work at a gym so that he could get there early to shower and stay late to be warm. He never was able to make enough money to get his own place, and could never get into the shelters in his area because he was always working too late at night, and the shelter would be closed for admittance. Eventually, he told us, he fell into alcohol abuse, which further exacerbated the situation, and he kept trying jobs and programs and shelters. Finally, he got into a program at a church, and finding religion helped him. He cleaned up. He got an apartment, he even got married and set on his way to life. And now, through the National Coalition for the Homeless and his work, he gives back to the community. Now, if you looked at him, you would never know that he had been unhoused. He didn't fit the stereotypes that we may have in our minds, certainly not now as he was there speaking to us, and probably not when he was a teenager either. In talking with the teens, he was able to dispel a number of myths that they had, that we have, about why people are unhoused, about the drugs and alcohol, laziness or mental illness. No, he was a normal middle-class teenager until it all fell apart. And then alcohol did make it worse. He also busted the myth that the unhoused are lazy. He held jobs throughout the whole period that he was homeless, just never enough to make ends meet. And he busted the myth that there's no way to help people who are in this situation, that he got help and got out of it, and now he helps others. None of this was apparent to my teenagers or to me just by looking at him. Although my special glasses of subtitles might have been able to help a little bit to tell the story, but you can't always tell about a person by looking at them. However, there is something I think that we can see in everyone, and it's a lesson from our Torah portion this week. Our parsha this week is called Tetzaveh. It starts with the instructions for creating olive oil and burning lamps and lanterns for the Mishkan, for the portable sanctuary, the Ner Tamid, like the light that we have up there. And then it goes into detailed description about the clothes for the high priest, the details of what the uniform the high priest is going to wear, the robe and the tunic and the sash and the breastplate, and in very intricate detail about what he's going to wear. If you're really interested in it, you can Google High Priest Ancient Israel online, and up will come 20 different websites that have diagrams, including a couple of seamstresses who have actually made the clothes. In any event, one item has always, always interested me. In Exodus 28, it tells us, "You shall make a frontlet of pure gold and engrave upon it the seal inscription, Kodesh Ladonai, holy to God. Suspended on a cord of blue so that it may remain on the headdress. It shall remain on the front of the headdress. It shall be on Aaron's forehead." That is to say that Aaron, the high priest, wears as part of his getup a medallion on his forehead from his turban that says Kodesh Ladonai, holy to God. Needless to say, our sages wonder why. Why include that as part of his ritual uniform? Some of our sages think it was to remind Aaron of his status. Hey, you are holy to God. You better not mess up in what it is that you're doing is in leading the religious worship. Some of our commentators think it was to remind the rest of the Israelites, hey, this is the guy, right? He's the one who's Kodesh Ladonai. Make sure that you're appropriately respectful of him. Some of our commentators think it was to remind God that this person is going to be the Holy One, the high priest of ancient Israel. And some, it was to remind God that this is the guy who has to ask for atonement for all of us. We're not really sure exactly why. It may not really matter, but one way or another, Aaron is marked as Kodesh, as holy or sacred, special, set apart. Now here's the interesting part to me. Earlier, a couple chapters before in Exodus 19, God tells all the Israelites that they are to be Mamlechet Kohanim, which means a realm of priests, a holy nation. Each and every Israelite is to consider themselves as if they were a priest. I suppose if they were, we'd all wear that getup and we'd all wear that medallion on our forehead, Kodesh Ladonai, holy to God. But I couldn't help but wonder in our own day and age, what if we did? What if we did not all of the bells and whistles and breastplate and whatever, but that Kodesh Ladonai, what if we all wore a sign on our forehead that said that? What would that mean for our actions? How would we behave if we knew we were bearing an amulet that said, holy to God? And even beyond that, how would we treat other people if they were wearing a sign that we could see that said, Kodesh Ladonai? How could we not be better to our fellow human beings if we were reminded by what we had on our head and what they had on theirs, that we are each one of us Kodesh Ladonai, holy to God? What if our special glasses allowed us to see that in the other person, even if we weren't wearing a physical medallion? What if we could truly see Kodesh Ladonai imprinted on every person's forehead? What if we could see the holiness that's implanted in each one of us? Oh, what a difference that must make in our world. Would make a difference in how we acted and what we did. Would make a difference in how we acted towards others as well. You know, Calvin, our speaker, wasn't wearing clothes that made him look homeless, even though he had been. And in telling his story, our teens were able to see the Kodesh Ladonai on his forehead and to think about how they treated other people. We don't need to invent special glasses to see this. We just need to see people as people. And we just need to recognize the holy in each person. If we can do this, if we can imagine that we ourselves are wearing Kodesh Ladonai, if we can imagine that every person we interact with is wearing Kodesh Ladonai, if we can see beyond the outside and see the holiness implanted within, Then would we truly be Mamlechet Kohanim, a realm of priests and a holy nation. King Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will. And together we say,
Amen.
Amen.